In a day of unbelief and rebellion toward God, of world oppression and fear, there is an institution of learning standing firm upon the authority of God's Word, proclaiming Christ the hope for man and his sin. Bob Jones University, a fortress of faith. Would you rather have Jesus than anything else? If a personal relationship with the Savior is not your most cherished possession, then it's your greatest need. Listen now as Dr. George Ustra, an alumnus of Bob Jones University, tells the story of his persistent effort to convince his grandparents of their greatest need.
My grandparents took me in when I was 4 years old, a child from a broken home. They lived in a tough area of Chicago, but they were determined I would grow up to be a good boy. They took me to church every Sunday. I wasn't accustomed to that. It was a dead, formal church. My grandparents were moral people and felt that they were good citizens. And they were. I started going to a boys' club that met in a local church across the block. I went to that church's camp with the boys the summer before I started high school. I came back with some new ideas.
I got saved at camp, Grandpa.
What's that?
You know, saved. I asked the Lord to save me.
What are you talking about, George?
Why, you know, Grandpa. It's in the Bible. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and take away my sins. You and Grandma ought to. You need to be saved.
What do you mean? Well, that's for bad people, George. You don't need that. You've always been a good boy. And don't say that about your grandma, George. She's a good woman. We're both good enough, I think. Why, you pay our bills? Tell me, George, did you ever see me do anything that wasn't honest?
It seemed so simple and so necessary to me that I couldn't see how they could refuse. So I kept praying for them and talking to them and expecting their salvation every day. And they kept saying no.
Read this, Grandma. It's a tract I got at camp. It tells how we're all sinners.
But now we're not bad people, son. Why do we need to confess we're sinners?
It's just that new church is going to. It's confusing you, George. Why don't you start going with us again? Get that nonsense out of your head.
Now, George, we're glad you're back for the summer. But don't you bother your grandpa with that religious stuff. He's not feeling well, and he's getting old.
Well, now, Mother.
Well, you are. George, you leave him alone.
And besides, we're good enough.
The years passed, and they were still unsaved. I suppose sometimes I was a trial to them. I didn't do the things normal kids did. I didn't go to the high school dances. And when I refused to pay the prom dues for the junior-senior proms, I definitely wasn't doing the right thing. You know, the good citizen thing. Grandma and Grandpa couldn't understand that. But they respected my beliefs and let me do as I wished. Then the time came when I decided to go to college.
Well, all right. If you want to go to college, okay. But well, why do you have to go so far away? And who's ever heard of Bob Jones University?
You don't need college, George. Stay here in Chicago. Get a job. Grandpa never had any schooling, and your dad didn't, and they're doing all right.
I went to college anyway. The year I was graduated, I went home in the summer to find my grandfather ill. He'd been suffering for 6 months from what the doctor called a bad case of anemia. I thought he needed another opinion, so I found a specialist, and Grandpa was scheduled to go into the hospital for tests. On Friday afternoon, I found him alone and sat down for a talk. Grandpa, I know you've always been a good man.
George, all these years I've told you that. And I guess I'm just as good as the next man. But you know what I found out? None of us is really very good. I've been thinking about it.
And here was my grandpa, after all these years, and because of nothing I'd said, admitting he was a sinner. The rest was easy. I sat down and told him how Christ had died to pay for his sins, and how all he had to do was accept that payment and receive the Savior. I'd said almost all those things to him before, but this time he listened.
Yes, I'm ready to tell Jesus. I want him to save me. How do I tell him?
So my prayers for Grandpa were finally answered. On Saturday morning, he entered the hospital. His illness was diagnosed as leukemia. A week later, he died. I was sorrowful, of course, but I had complete peace and a great thankfulness to God for letting him be saved just in time. But now there was Grandma. She had not much hope.
Oh, George, what will I do now?
Grandma, won't you accept the Lord as your Savior? You know, Grandpa told you
don't
about...
Don't bother me with that now, son. I'm too tired to think about it. Grandpa was too sick to worry about it, too. You shouldn't have bothered him. Oh, poor, poor Grandpa.
I felt I ought to move back to Chicago to take care of Grandma. I thought, after all, Grandpa and Grandma had taken me in when I needed them. But she wouldn't hear of it. So she stayed on in the house, and I went back to South Carolina to my family. We prayed for her every day. On Easter Sunday of 1965, I became terribly burdened about my grandmother, so old and still unsaved. But if she should die without the Lord, although it was getting late, I finally picked up the phone and called her.
Hello?
Hello, Grandma. It's George. How are you?
Not so well, dear. I haven't been feeling too good. Are you all right, George?
Yes, fine.
And how are the children?
We talked for almost 30 minutes. She would finally talk about Grandpa's decision for the Lord. And she listened when I explained the plan of salvation to her again. But that's as far as she would go.
Well, George, I'll think about it.
Well, goodbye, Grandma. This is going to be a busy week for us. But I'm going to call you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear.
I hung up the phone. There was nothing else I could do but pray for my grandmother. Still, I had no peace. Finally, I thought of my wife's brother. He was a pastor in South Bend, Indiana, about 75 miles from where Grandma lived. So I called and asked him to visit her. I promised to send him a map showing how to get to her house. He said he could go almost any day except Wednesday. His 16-year-old daughter was having a birthday party then. So I hung up the phone and drew a rough map and got it into the mail. Late Wednesday night, the phone rang. Hello?
George.
Yes?
Guess what? Your grandmother accepted the Lord this afternoon.
Today? But I thought you couldn't go up today.
Your map came, and I just felt I had to go. So we skipped the party and went up. She knelt right there on the living room floor and asked the Lord to save her.
Well, thank God. I still can't seem to believe it. My prayers had finally been answered. The prayers begun as a boy, and later joined by my wife and my children. Both my grandparents were finally safe in the Lord. I couldn't get Grandma on the phone, so I called my church and asked someone to visit her. One of the ladies visited her on Monday night and said she had a radiant testimony and that she was sure of her decision and happy about it. On Tuesday morning, Grandma didn't answer her door, and when they broke in, they found her body. She had joined Grandpa and the Savior she had known less than a week. Is God faithful in answering prayers? He certainly is, in His own way and in His own time.
Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today's true story in the life of Dr. George Ustra was adapted for radio by Gene Martin. Fortress of Faith is produced for this station by Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.